Good evening. The time is now 5:01. The Warwick Finance Committee is open. If I may have a motion for acceptance of the minutes from June 20th, 2022.
So moved.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Councilman Foley.
You're welcome.
First item on the agenda is bid 2022-428. I say again, 2022-428. That's found on page one. Design Services for City Hall Plaza. Good evening, Mr. Kravitz.
Good evening. This is the city plaza behind us here for the proposed ice rink. The omnibus bill, Bill Vicente was helping us with this. They model their advertising off of HUD. And so he's doing an environmental review and preparing a notice for advertisement, which we need to do in order to obtain those funds. And so we, Dean from my office did a lot of the initial designs and the takeoff for these numbers. This number is roughly 10% of what's an anticipated construction cost, but that's of course subject to bidding and everything. And this would be an amount not to exceed number, which is what the number comes from. We did the, an RFQ for this process and we scored the three firms that responded and Beta did score the highest. So we're essentially asking your permission to negotiate with Beta to kind of get the ball rolling. So we're ready to go with an entity for a contract when we know we can begin to spend funds. But the key thing with this whole thing is you can't, especially it's coming from HUD in terms of the guidance, you can't, you've got to be careful that you don't expend any monies prior to getting all your ducks in a row with the federal level or else you may not get reimbursed. So that's the last thing we want to do. We want to make sure that we cover all those bases. And this kind of action though is not, it lets us secure a contractor and we're in the starting gates when we do that. So with that, I'll take any questions you might have.
Thank you so much. Are there any follow-up questions from the committee? Councilman Gebhardt.
Director, thanks for coming tonight. Can you just talk a little bit more about what the ranking and scoring system was for the various bidders?
Well, our staff came up with the scoring criteria. Dean, and we had two, I think, I know we had DPW help us score them. But I don't have the score sheet with me per se, but that's, they weighted on a series of factors based on experience and you know, similar projects, and Beta did score the highest.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to, you know, put in a plug for this area. I mean, this is a great project. I am very pleased that we are moving it forward. This city council has been very supportive of this area for a number of years using these federal money as well. I just want to remind my colleagues on the council how we're getting a brand new playground right behind the ball fields that is separate from this, but it's something that we've already invested in, this council supported, and this is really going to transform this area. So this is a big project. And I'm very pleased that it is moving forward. And as the director said, with these federal money, everything has to be, you know, dotted and crossed and make sure we get everything taken care of. So again, I encourage my colleagues to support this project. And I think we're really excited. And again, it's been supported and endorsed by the Aponac Village Association. And we are thrilled that it's moving forward. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Are there any comments or questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. Hi, Director.
Hi.
So you just said that the $650,000 was about 10% of the cost of doing that complex in the back there. If I remember right, in the budget, there was $3.5 million allotted for that area. So how did this get up to $6.5 million?
There was additional monies that were transferred from another project. I want to say it was the water main associated with 37, based on how the opera funds had come in. The administration was able to potentially transfer more money to this project.
You say potentially. Is that an assured?
You know, we want to go through this process of first with Beta and see what we can get from them for the cost. I mean, 10%. Dean tells me it's 10 to 15% is a range. That's typically a soft cost percentage on a construction project, say. So we're really not going to know exactly, right, what it costs. It depends on what we design and what's bid. So it is an amount not to exceed for the soft cost, and I want to kind of take it step by step before we commit to, you know, the actual construction cost.
Well, it just came to somewhat of a surprise to me that now we're talking $6.5 million, when during the budget process we're talking $3.5 million. The $3.5 million, that is coming from the COVID money, opera money.
Yeah, that's my assumption. Yep.
Okay. That's your assumption?
Yeah, and speaking with the mayor's office, we're transferring opera money to this project.
Okay. So the COVID money is paying for the $3.5 million. The other $3 million, which I don't know, maybe I don't remember every bit of that budget book, but I don't remember this project being slated at a cost of $6.5 million. The other $3 million, you are saying that that's going to be coming from also opera monies?
That's my understanding, yes.
Will there be any taxpayer dollars needed to complete this project at $6.5 million?
No, there hasn't been a commitment of taxpayer money for this project.
Okay, so I'm just going to repeat that again for the record, that the anticipated cost of this project between the ice rink and the ball fields appears as though it's going to be about $6.5 million, and there will be no taxpayer dollars needed, used, or required for that complex.
Of course, the money we're getting is taxpayer money, right, from its inception, but I hear what you're saying, right?
No,
local tax
money. I'm not playing semantics,
yeah,
with
right.
That taxpayer dollars means your property
right.
taxes get whacked.
Right.
I understand on the federal level, you know, we're all going to end up contributing to this. We're all going to be chipping into the bank for that.
Yep.
I'm talking about taxes on the residents in the city of Warwick and their property taxes. Okay. In this first paragraph, middle of the paragraph, it says, well, in accordance with Rhode Island general laws, et cetera, reviewed the responses based on the qualifications of the firms with regards to the proposed scope of work contained in the RFQ. I don't see those responses in this binder. Were they submitted so that we can also see those responses?
That's a question for Pat, but she's shaking her head no. No is in...
You don't typically put them in the packets.
I can't hear them.
They typically do not put them in the packets.
They don't put the responses in the packets?
Right.
Why?
I mean, we have it. We can get it to you.
It also doesn't list in here It says the reviews were conducted independently by staff within the planning and DPW departments. Who were those staff? It doesn't state
I know
in
it was,
here who it was.
Yeah, Dean and...
I know Eric.
Eric Hindinger was the other staff member for DPW.
Dean and Eric?
Dean Pimentel from my office, yep. Okay. And Eric Hindinger from DPW.
So those are the two individuals that evaluated these responses?
Right.
Okay. It kind of caught my eye on this when I was going through it, and then it was further attracted my attention because on page 50 of another bid that we'll talk about a little later on, it states about a review committee consisting of the finance director, et cetera, et cetera. And it goes on to name the people that were involved in that. And I think that should be done in all of these type of items. I think the members of the city council and the members of the public should know who the individuals are that are involved in reviewing these. I also think that we should have an opportunity to see those responses too. Because what we're being asked to do tonight is we're being asked to vote on something that didn't go out for bid. And that's another question that I have. Why didn't this item go out for bid?
Well, it went out through the RFQ process for the soft cost piece of it. And that was explained in the paragraph under the Brooks Law there. And you do the RFQ. We did this with Nikki Stevens as well, with the RFQ process, which resulted in, I think it was VHB for that one, but you pick the highest scoring firm, and then if you're not satisfied with the pricing you get from that firm, then you can go to the next highest scoring firm and negotiate with that firm. Having said that, Councilman, we don't have to do it tonight. If you want, I can get more refined sourcing for the budget, and we can get that information for the proposal, the responses. We'll get you the RFQ. Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's all right.
What I'm getting at here with the bid is, so when you're going to request authorization and negotiate the most comprehensive scope of work with the highest qualified firm for the City Hall Plaza design, you're looking for us to support spending authority up to $650,000 to do this. But yet we, the City Council, is not going to have any say over who is the contractor for this project. Is that true?
Right.
So why wouldn't we have this presented to us, or why wouldn't this go out for bid for this? Once the scope of work has been determined and decided on by whoever the group is that is going to be handling this, why doesn't that go out for bid? Why is it that whoever they are that is involved in this is going to end up making the decision to engage a contractor for a $6.5 million project?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. The construction project will go out to bid for sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. As part of this first piece, working with the engineers to design it, they're going to draw up bid specs for us to put on the street to build this thing. And then we're going to know, then we pick, you know, probably the lowest, most competitive bid price to build it.
Okay.
And then you'll have to award that too, you know.
So what you're looking to do is the preliminary work, developing the scope of work, et cetera, et cetera. Does that development that you're working on, is that going to include plan design, engineering,
permitting,
that type of stuff?
Yeah, that's what this is. Yep.
So it's all part of that.
Developing the alternatives. Yeah.
And then once that is completed, then that will go out for bid.
Absolutely. That engineer will draw up a whole bid spec for construction, and that includes oversight as well when the thing's being built. This same firm will be overseeing the construction too.
What same firm? What do you
mean? Well, the one we end up picking out of these three.
So is this going to be a project manager, or is this going to be the actual construction company?
That this would be, Beta would be acting as the project manager too.
So in addition to the project manager, there will still be a general contractor?
Yes. That will be bid later, whoever the winning general contractor is, I assume. And they'll have subs. I'm sure they're going to have to bring in a special firm for the rink piece of it.
Okay. What was important, well, one of the many things that were important to me on this was to, once again, get it on the record that, especially now that you tell me it's going from $3.5 million to $6.5 million, that there will not be any taxpayer or taxpayer dollars used to pay for this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions, comments from members of the council? Any questions, comments from members of the public? Members of the public. Thank you. Next on the agenda is bid 2023-102. That is found on page 4. Remove and install boilers from Wicks to the Cooper Building. Thank you, Director. Good evening, Chrissy.
Good evening. Public Works is requesting to have one of our HVAC contractors, D. Larson and Sons, move two boilers from the former Wicks school to the Cooper Building. As you know, the Wicks school has been sold. The buyer is allowing us time to move these units. The unit at the Cooper Building is from 1969, original to the building, and it is failing. The two units at Wicks have been pressure tested. They are in good shape. They were installed just a few years before the school closed. So we are requesting to repurpose them into the Cooper Building for $115,140.
Thank you, Christy. Questions from the committee? Councilman Gebhardt.
Thanks, Christy. So, what would the replacement cost be for a comparable system at Cooper?
A brand new system in that building is $264,000, I believe. We're saving approximately $107,000 by repurposing the ones from Wicks instead of installing brand new.
Okay, got it. And what's the useful life on the systems that we're moving? Probably
10 to 15 years. I mean, they're literally like fairly new. They're like 3 or 4 years old. And then the school closed, so they have just been sitting there, but they're still in great shape for us.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisar.
Aren't you funny? Hi, Christy.
Hi.
Christy, you said that these boilers are 3 to 4 years old?
Approximately, yes.
Are there any warranties still in effect on those?
Not to my knowledge.
What were the original warranties?
They were installed by the school department before the building closed. I don't have that information.
I saw Mr. Gothberg here earlier. Is he still here or did he leave? Guess he left. So they're being transferred over to the Cooper Building. One of the larger tenants in that building, are they still in that building without a lease?
I couldn't speak to that. I don't know.
Is there anyone here that can speak to that? Because the last I knew, there was still no signed lease by the tenant in that building.
The request from the councilman of Ward 5 is if anyone can speak to the Cooper Building's lease status concerning the tenants in the Cooper Building. I'm sorry, could you step up to the microphone, please, Director? And just identify yourself, please.
I'm Beverly Wiley. I'm the Director of Parks and Recreation. That building is leased to the city, and I know there's some ongoing discussions going on right now about reciprocal agreements going on with the city and the Boys and Girls Club.
Thank you, Director.
I'd also point out that that's been going on for about 5 or 6 years with that lease that has never been presented or approved by the city council. But that's I get the answer for that.
And just for point of facts, Councilman, riding on what you said, in three administrations. So yeah, you're absolutely right. It'll be finalized.
Three
yeah.
administrations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good point. All right. So we don't know what the date was that those boilers were installed in Wicks, but we think they're 3 or 4 years. The two bids that we have here from Lawson and Sons, one speaks to a bid of $175,856. And then it has the other items down below in the notes. What I found curious is the second note, it said, add $32,000 if the new boiler flue and stainless steel chimney are required. And option two, which is the one that you're looking to move with, in that item, it says, add $32,000 if new stainless steel boiler breaching and stack are requested. Why is one different from the other? Why is one, the city has to request it, and the other one, it says, if it's required? Who's going to make that determination as to whether it's required?
That is included in the price that we are requesting. It's necessary.
It is necessary.
I think it was just a wording by the vendor. It wasn't anything.
So you've determined that it is necessary to do that?
Yes.
Okay. And the next item in option two, it says add $28,000 to tie into city building management system. That's not included in this, correct?
Correct.
So who's going to do that?
We don't have a management system currently. That was kind of like the Honeywell. You can monitor things remotely, and we don't have that kind of system right now. We're looking into going out to bid for something, but I'm waiting for a list of equipment. So as of right now, that is not part of what we're requesting.
Okay, so the city has determined that's not necessary, and we don't really have a system for that.
Not as far as getting these boilers moved and installed into Cooper, no.
It also says that there is, it does not include any asbestos abatement. Has any testing been done, or has any inspections been done to determine whether or not there is asbestos in those old boilers? And if there is, what the cost is of getting them out of there?
We had a firm come out to both locations. The preliminary look at what's in both buildings, they think that there's going to be, they'll have to do some samples, obviously, but no, they don't think that there's any cause for concern. I'm pretty sure that Cooper had quite a bit of asbestos abatement done before it was turned over to the city by the government. So, and Wicks the same. So it wouldn't require any sort of Department of Health plan or anything like that. So we're not looking at a big expense there. Probably, I don't know, maybe $800 for the testing and their time to take the samples.
The asbestos would be inside those boilers. So if you're looking at the outside of the boilers, you're not going to see any asbestos, probably. But the asbestos would be contained inside those boilers. So does anyone know whether or not that is the case? The age of that building, I think it's somewhat safe to say that there's asbestos there.
What I just referred to was given, that was the information that was provided to us by the firm that went out and looked at both sites.
I understand that.
But there was asbestos abatement in the Cooper building prior to it being turned over to the city.
That doesn't take us off the hook if this company goes in to change those boilers out of there and they discover or determine that those boilers have asbestos in them. To remove asbestos, you're looking at serious money. It's not $100.
Right. I understand that.
So,
but as of right now, we have no cause for concern based on the firm on the off this that we have had off the state MPA view in both buildings to give us their opinion of what they think, how far we need to go. We were fully prepared to get an asbestos abatement plan and do whatever we had to do before we brought this to the council. But according to the professionals, that's not necessary.
For clarification, if you don't mind, Councilman, you're saying that both buildings, Wicks and Cooper,
yes,
were reviewed?
Yes.
As far as the asbestos goes?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was understanding. I thought he was talking about Wicks. You were talking about just Cooper,
no,
but you just clarified that. Okay.
Prior to us bringing this to council, because we reviewed the quote and knew that there was a chance there would be asbestos somewhere in either building, we asked the firm to come out and evaluate and do the samples, and we haven't had any cause for alarm that this is going to be, as of now, you know, a $50,000 asbestos job on top of it, so...
So to go on the councilman, if you don't mind, councilman, to go on the councilman's point, what would happen inside, I guess, if I heard you correctly, councilman, you said that some of the boilers could have asbestos inside as the possibly, and you're saying that there's not 100% guarantee, but the way that they inspected it, knowing the manufacturing of these tanks, what companies or what products used asbestos and which ones didn't?
Right, but there's... like I said previously, there was asbestos abatement in that building, in the Cooper building.
Yes.
Prior to it being turned over to the city.
Okay, and as far as the Wicks building, which is the one I believe the councilman was talking of, which is the age of the...
No.
No, they're new. You're right. So the Cooper building is the one that's being removed. That's the one. Okay, so they cleared the Cooper building, two tanks from the Cooper building, the two boilers
from the
Cooper building.
I believe there's only one in Cooper.
Okay.
It's, you know, kind of a mammoth, but... But so we're replacing it with two that are at Wicks.
Thank you. And thank you for the clarification and the time.
Well, the Wicks building I'm not so concerned with because it's been testified to that these boilers are 3 to 4 years old. So the chances are of having asbestos in those boilers is none because the asbestos has been outlawed for years. The connections to those boilers, new boilers, 3, 4 years old, they also cannot have any asbestos connected to them. So I'm not concerned with Wicks. I am concerned with the Cooper building. The Cooper building is, what was that, back in the 50s, 40s, something thereabouts when that
1969 it was built.
69?
Yep.
Okay. So it could have asbestos in it. I'm not warm and fuzzy hearing that, well, you know, somebody abated, did an asbestos abatement throughout the building. That's fine. That doesn't have anything to do with the boilers. And the boilers were not abated because they're still being used. So my point is, I think there's a fair chance that there's going to be asbestos abatement required in those boilers. And if there is, that's going to be an additional cost. And I want to know who's going to pay the bills. When we get to the point where it says, uh-oh, now we have asbestos, who's paying the bill? And what is the bill going to be? You know, we go through this with these projects, and we continue to go through it even tonight, where it's just one bill after another. The bills just keep coming in. We're going to fix this, and then, oh, we found out that, and now we got to get another bill. So it's not like this great big scientific project to determine if there's asbestos in those boilers. And I think that's something that should be known before we go there and start tearing apart boilers and then find out, oh, we can't touch them. Now we got to go for the abatement, and we got to go through the process of doing the abatement before we can remove those boilers. Now what? And you get the heating season right around the corner.
Thank you.
To me, it would make sense finding out, do those boilers have asbestos in them or don't they?
And the best information that we have is what you said, or the most accurate information is before the federal government turned it over to the city.
There was asbestos abatement, and we had a professional firm.
Yes.
Evaluate the building, or that area, I should say, not the building, but the boiler room. For any asbestos issues. And that was the report that they gave us back.
Got it. Thank you.
No.
Counselor?
I'm waiting to hear what Eric has to say.
Oh, I just wanted to point out.
Could you identify yourself, please?
I'm sorry, Eric Earls, Public Works Director. The scope of work is that the vendor will go in, take the two boilers out of Wicks, bring them to Cooper, remove the Cooper boiler, dispose of it, and then install the boilers from Wicks. So whether or not the boiler at Cooper has asbestos in it, that's on the vendor because they're doing the work and they understand what the risks are. The asbestos abatement comes with the peripheral stuff, the ventilation, the piping, the ductwork, those types of things. So whether or not there's asbestos in the actual heating mechanism, that's not on us because the vendor has put it in here that they're going to remove that system.
So when they remove these boilers, you're saying that they're responsible for disposing them?
Correct.
And are they responsible for disposing them if the inside of those boilers aligned with asbestos without coming back to us and saying, hey, guess what? I put right here in my specs, price does not include any asbestos abatement.
The quote is that they're going to remove that unit. Maybe they know, based on the type of unit that it is, that there's not asbestos in it. They're the vendor. They're the vendor that we have. The asbestos abatement that they're talking about is associated with the insulation, the ductwork, that type of thing. It's not associated with the unit itself.
They're not doing any work to the ducts. They're just removing.
Well, they have to take the old unit. They have to take the units out of Wicks.
Right.
They're not going to match perfectly. It's not a plug and play. They're going to have to do some work to get it to fit. They're also going to have to adjust the ductwork out of the building, which is why we have the add alternate for the stainless steel chimney. So there is work to the ducts. That's what we're talking about with regards to asbestos.
Okay, so the position of the department from you, the director, is that doesn't matter what's inside those boilers. With regard and respect to the boilers, not the connection fittings, but the boilers, there will not be any additional charge incurred from the city for disposal or asbestos particles, containment, whatever, in those boilers. Is that what we're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Fine.
Thank you. Any further questions from members of the council?
Sorry.
Councilman, hold on 1 second, Councilman. Any further questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisaw.
Thank you. Christy, why didn't this go out for bid?
We're actually, the and I'm sure planning director can speak to it, but it's my understanding that the buyer wants to demolish this building and make way for whatever development is going there. So they're allowing us, they own the building now, but they're allowing us to go through the process that we have to. This is not the type of thing where we have the time to go out to bid because the buyer wants to move forward with what they need to do. So that's why we're asking for a 56.6 with our vendor that we have already for HVAC.
So did the new owner of Wicks, did they give you a written time frame to have this work completed?
I don't have any of the information regarding the sale.
Okay. Director?
Please identify yourself.
Yeah, Tom Kravitz, City Planning Director. We technically still own the property. So Mr. Paolino hasn't actually acquired it yet, but this is something we, in talking with him, we wanted to try to get it done, you know, during the summertime, preferably August. So we're just trying to accelerate it.
Mm-hmm. When was the sale of that Wicks building? When did we approve that?
We have not. Oh,
June? May?
I forget.
I think it was May.
That sounds about right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions, comments from members of the council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you. Next is bid 2023-053 Alpha Concrete asphalt, concrete, hot mixes, and cold patches. That's found on page 8. Hello again, Chrissy.
Hi. Public Works is requesting to award the bid for asphalt, hot mix, and cold patch to the five vendors that submitted a bid: J.H. Lynch, D'Amber Construction, Carty Corporation, Johnston Asphalt, and Narragansett Improvement, for a one-year period in the amount of $80,000.
Thank you so much. Are there questions from members of the committee? Are there questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisaur.
Thank you. Christy, on your recommend items, you got Lynch, D'Amber, Crotty, et cetera, et cetera. That isn't necessarily the order in which you're going to reach out to these folks, is it?
No.
Okay. Because it appears as though, well, most of it, D'Amber is the lower bidder. So they'll be getting first bites where they're the lower bidder, right?
Assuming they have the product, yes.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions for members of the council? Questions, comments for members of the public? Question, comments for members of the public? Thank you. Next is bid 2023-053 Bravo, asphalt, concrete, hot mixes, and cold patch. This is found on page 12. Christy.
Again, for the water department, it's the same request with the same vendors for the same product, asphalt, hot mix, cold patch, in the amount of $60,000 for 1 year.
Thank you. Questions from members of the committee? Questions from members of the council?
Can I ask one?
Absolutely. Councilman Foley.
Just a quick question. Do you have roads mapped out, ready to go? Like, this gets approved tonight, you go to D'Amber, when are they going to start paving?
So that's a separate bid. This is a material that we pick up for potholes, if we have to do burns, small patch jobs, that type of thing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the council? Members of the public, any questions from members of the public? Thank you. The next item is bid 2022-060. That is found on page 16. It is statistical reappraisal of real estate located within the corporate limits of the city of Warwick, effective December 31st, 2021. Good evening, Director. Please identify yourself and you may begin.
Peter Schaefer, Finance Director. You acted on the recommendation of the mayor and the tax assessor to delay the revaluation for 1 year. We have the vendor under contract. In fact, the vendor is under budgeted by about $35,000 even before we did the delay, but there will be some additional costs. I don't think we'll have to use the full 70,000. Neil thinks more like 35,000 to 40,000, but that's what it's going to take to do the updates, to complete a new update for December 31st, 2022.
Thank you. And I just wanted to interrupt for a moment to say thank you to Christy for her testimony in the previous bids. And this is 60% reimbursable?
Yes.
It is 60% reimbursable to the city. Thank you. Are there any questions from members of the committee? Questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisaur.
Thank you, Chairman. So this is like the second surprise that I get tonight. Peter, I think I just heard you say that the original appraisal was $35,000 under budget.
Yes, because if you go back, and I think some of the documents are in here, Neil was working hard to get some of his employees to do work, and we had flexibility in the contract if he could use his own staff to do some of the work. So the $289,000, if we'd completed it as of December 31st, 21, which we acted to extend it a year, it would have been under the contract amount by around $35,000.
So are you saying now that
now
our
we're doing,
staff
doing
will update, not be doing it?
Now they're updating all the additional for going another year. They're working with Neil on doing updates to get to December 31st, 2022. There will be an additional cost above the 289 that the council originally approved of around $35,000. We had 70,000 in the budget, but we're not going to have to use all of that because of core costs that were lower than expected.
So when it was presented to us to hold the revaluation for a year, I asked the question probably at least a couple times if we were going to incur any additional costs to complete this revaluation. And the response was minimal. Minimal additional cost. 70 grand is not minimal. That's 25% over the $289,000 budget that was there before. So this isn't minimal. This is significant. It's 25%. Peter, the 60% cost of the statistical update revaluations, the reimbursement, it says the state of Rhode Island, let me back up, because it's kind of giving a connotation to that 70K that is being asked for. It says, however, after telling us it's got to go to 359, it says, however, the state of Rhode Island reimburses municipalities for 60% of the cost of statistical update revaluations. The project will be completed in accordance with all the original project specifications. The additional cost is to recalibrate, et cetera, et cetera. Had the reevaluation been done this year, would we still have received 60% reimbursement from the state?
Yes.
Okay. So this isn't like this is some, you know, great big gift that we're going to get 60%. We're going to hit you for another 70,000 to do this, but it's not so bad because the state's reimbursing 60%. Well, it's not so good because the 60% would have been reimbursed on a 289. So I don't see how anyone can look at it any different than look at it and say, we just got a 25% increase in cost for holding this reevaluation for a year of 70 grand.
All I can say is, and I don't remember it was me or Neil that responded to you, but if you look at the budget, what we approved, there's $70,000 in the budget for 23, which that number was put in. And some of that would have been, because there's always a 10% retainage on the contract, but some of that would have been, but that covers, we budgeted the $70,000 that you're getting requested to approve right here.
That 70,000 you're saying was in the budget we just approved?
Yes.
And what where was that in the budget?
Page 19, the assessor's office.
Page 19.
Yeah.
So it's not minimal. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions, comments from members of the council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Questions, comments on bid 2022-060? Thank you, Peter. Next is bid 2020-001, Police and Fire Disability Administrator. Good evening, Director. Please identify yourself.
Stephen Rotondo, Personnel Director. This is a request to extend the agreement that a three-year agreement that we have with Claim Strategies. They help the department, the public safety departments, manage their IOD, injured on duty claims. And if we extend it for an additional 3 years, we've discussed with the vendor and got a commitment that would amount to an 11.75% decrease in the next 3 years over the current three-year contract that just expired in at the end of the fiscal year.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any questions from members of the committee? Questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you. Director, for this police and fire disability, are we self-insured for that?
Police and fire disability is a little different than workers' compensation. It's a completely separate set of rules and separate statutes. What happens when somebody goes out on IOD, they stay on payroll and get sick leave pay. So in a sense, we are self-insured. We pay them sick leave. And if it's an injured on duty claim, we pay them sick leave for as long as that on-duty injury lasts. So in that sense, I would say it's self-insured, yes.
So you say it's similar to workers' comp insurance. So workers' comp insurance, that goes one of the big players, well, the main player in Rhode Island is Beacon Mutual.
Right, correct.
So do we have a carrier such as Beacon Mutual for this police and fire disability coverage?
No, the coverage comes out of payroll. It comes out of your sick leave pay.
Okay.
Or the firefighter or the policeman's sick leave pay.
Okay, so we don't have a separate insurer providing us with this coverage.
That is correct. We do not. Okay. So they help manage it.
Well, with that said, I think you've done a good job in negotiating the numbers.
Thank you.
My concern was we had like a Beacon Mutual Insurance, and they do all this stuff that we're now looking to spend extra dollars and cents in doing. And that was my concern with this when I was going through it. I understand it where it, basically it is self-insured.
Yeah, by statute.
It is very necessary. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions, comments from members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
I'd like to request a PCR on this. Thank you.
The request from Ward 2 is for a PCR. It'll be PCR 85-22. Okay. Any further questions or comments from members of the council? Are there any questions, comments from members of the public? We had, yes. Thank you. We had a request for a PCR, so I'd like to take a vote on former bid 2020-001, Police and Fire Disability Administrator, and now PCR 85-22. May I have a motion?
Favorable action.
I have a motion for favorable.
Seconded
by Councilman Gebhardt. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Item number, I apologize. Thank you so much, sir. Bid 2022-429, Municipal Transfer Station. This is found on page 51. Director Earls, good evening.
Good evening. So the city went out for a request for qualifications, looking for consultants to assist with the feasibility of a municipal transfer station.
Thank you so much, Director. Questions from members of the committee? Questions from members of the council? Council President McAllister.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, Director. I really appreciate you guys looking for different ways to tackle this. Can you just outline for our constituents a municipal transfer station, what you envision?
Yeah, so we were here a couple months ago talking about the possibility of using the transfer station that that Waste Management operates and the benefits of that. This would be even more beneficial. The benefits of having a municipal transfer station are, rather than our trash trucks picking up trash curbside and driving to Johnston, they would pick up trash curbside and then drop at the local transfer station. So instead of a round trip of, you know, 25 or 30 miles, the round trip would be one or four, you know, depending on where they were in the city. That would allow them to get back out on their routes quicker. It would allow them to, obviously, there'd be a lot less depreciation on the vehicles. The fuel would be less. So what would happen with the trash, it would go to the municipal transfer station, be consolidated into a larger truck, and then haul to Johnston. So again, the wear and tear on the vehicles, the fuel costs, overtime costs would all be saved. Also, another big benefit, if we used it for recycling as well, which we would envision, we would certainly look at, we'd also minimize the number of rejected loads that the city gets. Right now, if your recycling truck goes out and picks up, you know, at 60 houses and they're all clean, but then it picks up two that somebody put, you know, like kind of your kitchen trash, food scraps, plastic bags, that whole load can be rejected. So we get hit with a $250 fine for that, but we also lose all that material. Instead of the majority of it being recycled, it all gets slid over into the refuse pile, and then we pay the per ton rate rather than it getting disposed of for free. Now, if you envision a transfer station where we control that, gets dumped on the tipping room floor, we can see whether or not we can salvage some of it for recycling. We pull out the trash, slide that over at our own facility, and then just take clean recycling up to Johnston. So now we're not getting the rejected loads, we're increasing our recycling rates, which again saves everybody money and is considerably more convenient. So those are the big benefits. There's also convenience to the citizens, right? So if you have trash now and you get too much to fit in your barrels, you're kind of stuck. If we had a municipal transfer station, we could make it open to the public to say, okay, if you can't fit in your barrels, drive it up here and you can dump it here. Similarly with recycling. And also bulky items. You know, it'd be easier on the city and easier on the residents if somebody who had a couch or a bureau or something could just throw it in the back of their truck and drive it up here, right? Now we don't have to worry about that as the Public Works Department, but also it's convenient for you because you don't have to worry about our schedule. So all of those things are the benefits. And so what we're asking for here is to just let us negotiate with the vendor to conduct the feasibility. You know, can we find a location? They would look at our, the size. You know, we typically have about 100 tons of trash a day, 40 tons of recycling. So you'd have to size the facility accordingly. They'd look at traffic based on whatever the location was. And we would ask them to look at, you know, city-owned properties, but also if there were private properties, that might be a good fit. You know, we would build that into the equation after the fact. So that's kind of what we're looking for here. That's where we are.
Thank you, Director. And I do commend you and the administration for, you know, thinking of ways to tackle this issue, not just doing what we've always done, because that's the way it's always been done. And thank you for the explanation. I think it's important. And we don't have the location yet, but we're just looking at the feasibility of this. See if this could be a new option for the city. So I just want to thank you for laying that out for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Questions, comments from members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
A quick one, just to be clear. The DPW would be looking into if there were a municipal transfer station, then there would be the additional service to Warwick residents where they could potentially drop off their bulky item pickup as opposed to waiting for that specific day of the week and so on. But there currently aren't any plans to cut back on the current bulky item pickup service?
No.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you. So, Eric, what do you see? Let me back up. When you just redid that other thing, that other transfer station, which I was very supportive of, it certainly sounds like a really good idea for all the reasons that you mentioned, which I support every one of them. But you also had come back and said it wasn't a good fit. It didn't work out so well. So what do you see being different doing our own transfer station?
Well, the problem with the other agreement was that the waste management transfer station handled commercial trash, and they were going to be taking our residential trash. Now, apparently in the trash world, residential trash is a better product. It compacts easier. It's easier to haul. And sometimes commercial entities, they'll take that good trash and they'll bring that to their landfill. So waste management obviously has their own disposal facilities. So they'll take that good material, our curbside trash, bring it to their facilities and switch it out and bring up bulky items like tables and couches and construction debris maybe that you know, are less desirable from a landfill operation. So that was the discussion that Resource Recovery up in Johnston had with waste management on Jefferson Boulevard, and subsequently we were not able to use that facility because there was that concern. The concern was that waste management might send Johnston the bad trash and keep the good trash. So when we are operating a facility, obviously we would completely control that, and it would just be residential trash that we pick up curbside. You know, there could be a benefit as well from a revenue standpoint if, you know, we size this facility theoretically to be bigger than just Warwick trash. You know, we could potentially offer the service to neighboring municipalities, East Greenwich maybe, or West Warwick, so that they don't have to direct haul, and then they would pay us a price similarly like the agreement that we were going to have with waste management. There wouldn't be as much of a conflict because you're all residential trash. But again, that's we're kind of getting big picture stuff.
And Eric, an example of what you talked about with the downtime, wasted time, you know, driving to the landfill. I think it was either last week or the week before, I was on 295 and one of our trucks was sitting in a line of traffic that was probably a mile long. You know, no fault of our driver, of course, but that's to the point you just mentioned. You also mentioned another really good point is the recyclables, how it can be contaminated, plastic bags, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it's really appropriate to put out some kudos to the administration, because I remember seeing recently a series of Facebook posts going through the explanation of what should be put in the recyclables and what shouldn't be. And I think that's a really good thing to do, because it's amazing how many people don't realize you can take, you know, the Glad bag full of aluminum cans, and no, it's not supposed to go in the recyclable, just the aluminum cans. Eric, the $50,000, what do you need the $50,000 for specifically?
Well, the scope of work would be, first, they would look at our waste stream. Like I said, 100 tons of trash, 40 tons of recycling a day. They would verify that and make sure that, you know, whatever the facility is, that they were sizing it correctly. They would look at the site selection. Obviously, that's a big one. Can we find a city-owned piece of property? You know, can we do it at City Yard, which, you know, kind of already has that industrial feel to it? Or are there other locations that would be a better fit? That they would develop the concept plan and the traffic observations. They'd attend public meetings. They'd work with us on after the site selection if there were geotechnical issues with the site. And then we'd get into the preliminary design, and then you start to get down into the nitty-gritty of actually designing the facility. So in theory, that's what the $50,000 would be for. $50,000 might not be enough at this point. That's a lot of scope for $50,000. But my thinking with assigning that number to it was, if we can't even find a site, then we're not getting to the other expensive pieces anyway. So I think that the $50,000 kind of gets us to maybe three or four tasks on here, and then we reevaluate where we are. Because I don't want to come back to you and say, hey, I got this great thing. It's going to be located on Post Road. Here it is, ready to go. And you say, no, you should have brought us into the pick, into the discussion when we were at site selection. So that's kind of what I'm thinking.
So, Eric, the other thing that's I've been getting, the other thing that I've been getting calls on over the past several months, you know, since the cutting the grass season kicked up, et cetera, is from landscapers and from different landscapers, you know, in the city, wanting to know if there were or there was a site in Warwick that they could dispose of their landscaping debris as opposed to having to haul it all the way out to Johnston. I don't know the mechanics of all of that. I'm putting it out there for, I don't know if you've been considering it or if you would entertain considering it, that perhaps being it's a commercial entity, that this could be something worked into this program where you would charge the landscapers to bring in their grass and their tree branches and leaves and whatever else, because they may pay us the same rate as Johnston, but they too would be saving a lot of time and money chasing around. So I don't know if that's something that you would be interested in exploring, but I just wanted to throw it out there. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you,
Councilman. By the way, I do support this, by the way.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions for members of the council? Questions for members of the public? Questions for members of the public? Thank you. I will now go through the procedure of identifying, asking members of the committee, council, and public of any items in the bid package that they would like to have pulled for discussion. I will start with the committee, with the finance committee. Is there any items that you would like pulled for discussion? I'll give you a moment.